producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
News, two Air France flights headed to Paris had to be diverted. Plus, looks like everyone's bailing on the refugee plan for the Syrians, meaning bringing the Syrian refugees into the United States. So many governors have said no, and now a top Democrat says absolutely no way, will not support Obama's plan in light of what's happened in Paris less than a week ago. So first, let's talk about the flights. Two Air France planes had to be, as I said, diverted because of bomb threats, one to Salt Lake City, the other to Halifax, Nova Scotia. Flight 65 was headed from L.A. to Paris. They dumped it into Salt Lake City after a bomb threat was called in from the ground. And, of course, now everybody's on heightened alert because of what happened in Paris. We go back to that again. Shortly afterwards, Air France Flight 55 from Dulles International, which, of course, is in Washington, to Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris was diverted to Nova Scotia, as I mentioned. Also a bomb threat there. Who called in the threats? All of that's being investigated. They didn't know if anyone was arrested. At this point, we don't know that anyone's been arrested, but several agencies are working on this. It was serious enough that they diverted these flights. You know, let's put it that way. And you can only imagine what it would be like to be a passenger sitting there and realizing, okay, the plane is dumping out. So naturally, this is going to, naturally, this is going to put you on edge. And as I said, that's something that just happened. And this, in light of this global terrorism report, a report comes out that global terrorism has increased by 80%, and this is in the heels of 2014, according to this new study. So imagine those numbers, frightening numbers, when you say 80% of anything negative. And this also comes on the heels of Paris in trying to make, not make sense, but trying to combat what do you do? How do you react to this? What are we doing in the United States? What are we doing to help France? What are we doing to, let's face it, crush ISIS, which seems to be the most dominant threat these days? So here's the deal. Death from global terrorism increased by 80%, as I said, that's the number, with 32,658 people being killed. Did you hear what I said? 32,658 people being killed. Now, the report says that despite 78% of the terror acts being concentrated really in five countries, and I think you know what they are, but I'll tell them to you. Pakistan, Nigeria, Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq. Terrorism is spreading with more countries recording attacks and deaths than ever before. This is the Global Terrorism Index report just released on Tuesday. It says there's been this dramatic spike in terrorism over the last 15 years. Of course, there are nine times more people killed in terror attacks today than in 2000. Islamist groups like Boko Haram and ISIS together were responsible for 51% of what they claim, anyway, of global killings in 2014. I think that's frightening statistics. Frightening statistics to hear it. And what's the economic impact of that? This report, so you know where it comes from, was compiled from data from the University of Maryland. Says that the global economic cost of terrorism last year reached a whopping $52.9 billion. So that cost is 61% higher than in 2013, and it just keeps going up and up and up. I mean, we're talking about the refugees here in a second. 10 of the 11 countries most affected by terrorism also have the highest rates of refugees and internal displacement. I mean, certainly that shows you the connection between the current refugee crisis, conflict, and terrorism. So on the heels of what I just said there, Syria, the global report, the planes being diverted, hate to hit you with this all at the beginning here for this show, but now the Obama administration, which is stepping up and has these assurances that they can keep terrorists from mixing in with the refugees that are coming in from Syria, there's a lot of reservations about that. You have governors that are saying, we will not take these refugees. I mean, at this point, we're up to at least 10 governors. So, you know, that they don't want to be responsible to take the for the concern that they're not vetted correctly. So now you have New York Senator Chuck Schumer, who says, yeah, I got to question this plan. And why do you got to question this plan? Because we go back again to not knowing where people are coming from. And the revelation that one of the Islamic State extremists who staged attacks in Paris last week might have entered Europe posing as a Syrian refugee. So Republicans and even some Democrats want to halt Obama's plan to let as many as 10,000 people displaced by the conflict that's happening there to resettle in the United States. So Chuck Schumer becomes the first Democratic leader to join Republicans in saying a pause might be needed after what happened in Paris, as we all watched with horror what unfolded there, that, you know, those attacks killing 129 people and injuring over 300, and the concerns that extremists might hide among refugees, for goodness sake, how would you make it, you know, how would you try to get into the country? It's the perfect way to do that. And despite trying to alleviate those fears, you know, getting the latest classified briefing from Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson and the FBI director, there is still a huge concern about the safety of the people in the country. And I agree. I don't think we – I'm going to say I don't think. We can't let this happen. We've seen how lax our process is to begin with. I mean, if I had a say in this, I wouldn't be comfortable saying, go ahead. I don't like the administration's ability, frankly, to make sure incoming refugees are really vetted to keep out potential terrorists. Because if something happens, which we can't 100% guarantee anyway, as we know with terrorism, but if we open the gates, imagine what would happen should something nefarious go on. Somebody's killed, some kind of attack happens. And we saw what happened in Paris. Now there's scrutiny for these refugees. Of course, it's intensified after the Paris attack. Again, they found a Syrian passport near the body of one of the assailants in that. So the French are saying the passport was fake, but the man entered Europe using forged documents, that forged document, to pose as a refugee. All right, here's a big reminder. We're not doing Nail the Score tonight. We've bumped it to our next show. So our Wednesday into Thursday show, second hour, next show, at the tail end of the hour, our last segment, we will be nailing the score. It's your chance to win a fabulous prize, a computer, in fact, from America Tonight. If you correctly guess whatever our NFL game of the week is, if you guess who wins it and what the final score will be, you, ding ding, will be our winner. So for this week, we are bumping it to Wednesday into Thursday, second hour, last segment. Make sure you tune in and make sure you participate, because it's a great chance to get an early Christmas present, that's for sure. Stay with us, more coming up next.
But really, I stand. I saw you.
Don't take a cold or flu lying down. Stand up and fight back with Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver is a natural immune system booster that is highly effective against viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Supernatural Silver is perfect for daily use and can be taken orally or used topically to keep you protected from whatever comes your way. This new technology is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver and is supported by extensive research from over 300 clinical studies at universities and independent research facilities. facilities across the country. Supernatural Silver has an exceptionally long storage life and should be an essential part of your emergency preparedness. Don't be caught off guard. Give your body the support it needs to fight off deadly pathogens that are lurking everywhere. Stock up on Supernatural Silver and give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2015 for 20% off. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com.
My name's Clyde, age 59, and I reside in Florence, South Carolina. The doctors diagnosed me as having clogged arteries. Felt like I was carrying heavy concrete blocks around my feet and legs. I started taking Heart and Body Extract as directed. It is less than 3 weeks, and I'm like a young man again. It's unbelievable that an herbal formula can work so fast and so powerfully.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at hbextract.com.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't take on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes. I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Your chance, the entire show, to throw in your 2 cents on who won the debate. Did Jeb Bush do anything different this time around to raise his stock, perhaps, in the polls? How about the moderators? Was it a little bit better this time around as far as sticking to economic facts? Or was it much of the same? I don't think anybody's going to say it was much of the same. In fact, I was reading, you know, whether you think CNN is left of left or whatever you think CNN is, and they gave big credit to the moderators because they said they kind of focused, or they didn't kind of, they focused on the economy and not on themselves, whatever that is worth. But as I said before, imagine moderating a presidential debate, especially with the kind of ratings that they're getting for these things. In our virtual green room right now, it's always fun to have her on the show to kick things around. Lisa Durden, she is such a sought after, as her publicist would say, commentator on a slew of different things. And if you've seen her, she is a person who keeps it real. That's her deal. You know, it's a straight no chaser view for sure. And that's why we like Lisa. You can go to lisadurden.com and check out more about her. Hey, Lisa, thanks for coming on with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So here's the question. First, let's start with the moderators, because CNBC got hammered so much the last time around. Do you think Maria and crew and Neil Cavuto, et cetera, and Gerard were better moderators, just kind of focusing on the economy, or at least that's the way they were billing it?
Well, I mean, I think so, because I find that I found that in prior Republican debates, I felt like, you know, I was entertained, but I'm not really interested in you asking them personal questions. I don't mind a few, but I'm not interested in personal questions of what Donald Trump said about this woman's face and what Donald Trump said about this person's outfit and who likes you and who doesn't like you. So I found that this was a much better direction that the moderators went in. for this one. So I guess they got hammered before, and they came back with a little bit more seriousness. We're going into 2016. It's time for us to discuss the issues.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that clearly, no matter what anybody's ideology is, if you were watching this, you would have come up with, I believe, the same thing. Who do you think, if we're going to, you know, when you have debates, you have winners, who do you think won the debate?
You know, it's a blur for me. They all look about the same. And I'm not saying this because I'm a Democrat, because I'm not really dogmatic about politics. Because I have actually, on rare occasions, voted outside the party for a particular person. But honestly, at some point, they just started to turn into this congealed group. I will say this. I can appreciate that this time there wasn't a gaggle of them. But the last two times, 15 or 20 people were on the stage, like an army of them were on the stage before. So I can appreciate that they whittled it down to what, about 8? How many were on the stage? A few.
Yeah.
So that was good. I could zone in and hone in on that. But I did like Fiorino a lot in terms of her presentation. She was very strong. I don't think she's going to edge out, unfortunately, Donald Trump and Ben Carson. But I thought she did very well, actually.
Yeah, your take on Ben Carson, I agree with you on Carly. I think she did very well, too, and was sound in her opinions and backed up what she said. Ben Carson, heading into this, everybody has been eyeballing what's going on with Ben Carson and what he's saying and his background in West Point and questions about a slew of other things, including his violence and his background when he was younger and been trying to find people to back up some of his stories.
Lord.
So what do you make of this with Ben Carson?
Oh, it's a debacle. Okay. I happen to be African-American. He happens to be African-American, but it doesn't mean I'm an expert on African-American. However, it's just me, like, really trying to figure out what it could be. I think that Dr. Ben Carson, or maybe his handlers or his people, are trying to find a way for him to connect with the black audience, because we're pretty much ignoring him. And he feels like we would connect better with him if he was, you know, from the hood and he was fighting in streets and stabbing people, so that we could all have a connection, as if we're all from the hood. And if we're all stabbing people, or have been stabbed, or seen stabbing, or have violence in our cipher, although I happen to have all that in my cipher.
Yeah.
I have met plenty of African-Americans who were the Cosbys. I was not from that world. But I expanded my horizons by going to college. And I'm like, oh, your parents are a PhD? So I realized that the whole world of black folks aren't like that. So like Ben Carson, and actually, I'm from the hood, and I still live in the hood of Newark. I can't fight. I can't be nobody. Ben Carson, just because you're from an inner city doesn't mean you can beat someone up. Ben Carson's one of those nerdy kids that didn't fight anybody. He might have gotten beaten up and run home. That's why his nose is in the books, and he is a very brilliant neurosurgeon. I don't believe anything he's saying. And even if we want to believe him, we're still not connected with Ben Carson. And that goes to show people, you know, when people say Black Lives Matter, they think every black person's running around pumping a fist and we're all going to get together like a big clan. We are not interested in someone simply because they're black.
Yeah, well said. Well said, Lisa. So, you know, you look at Ben Carson, though, and you see that he's neck and neck with Trump, and sometimes trumping him in the polls.
Yeah.
What if he were to become the nominee for the Republicans? Would this be a layup for Hillary to beat Ben Carson? What do you think would happen?
Absolutely. And slam and swish all neck. I'm not for sure on the more basketball terminology, but yeah, I think if he becomes the nominee, somebody's going to pick up the bat phone. It's going to be red. They're going to be screaming, "What the hell happened? How did he get there?" This would be the biggest upset of all upsets of all time. So Lisa Durden would be very happy if he becomes the nominee. So you know what, you guys? Go right ahead, GOP, or the OPP, or whatever you call yourself. Go right ahead.
So who is the most, I mean, here's a great question, and you've been watching, you know, this debate and the other debates, et cetera, and what's going on. Who would be the biggest challenge to the Democrats, do you think?
Maybe I'm crazy and I want to be a betting girl, but I'm going to say Jeb Bush. You know, Jeb Bush is, you know, lagging behind. He's kind of like, he's going to be one of those kind of like the little engine that could, although people are not liking him right now. He's not as popular. It's early on. He's pretty much velvet toast. But when you look at the gaggle of them, I do feel like at some point we do want someone that's presidential and he has experience. He's been in politics and, you know, has had some successes. And so when it gets right down to brass tacks, they're going to want that. Donald Trump is a loose cannon. He seems to be, you know, to some, quote, a racist, you know, with all these bombs he's dropping about, you know, putting up walls and keeping out Mexicans. And he's glad that you know, millions of them were thrown out many years ago and other mm-hmm. presidential, you know, it's not going to work out. Ben Carson, I hate to say it, America does not want two back-to-back black presidents. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. I think Jeb Bush is going to be the nominee, but it looks a little slow. But, you know, the little tortoise that could, you know, at the end of that story, won the race.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I think
you
Jeb Bush.
You heard it first.
Yeah, I agree. I said this all along, even though he's not showing up in the polls, unless he dumps out. I mean, because he's just getting, it's got to be humiliating for him to be, to not show up in the polls and to have a guy like Donald Trump beating him, for sure. There's no question. But I think he's the last man standing, absolutely. Lisa, you are
absolutely
terrific. Thank you so much for coming on again. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so Lisa Durden with her spin on you know, what happens in the end and who is perhaps the most dangerous, Jeb Bush. What do you think? You heard her take on Ben Carson and the fact that, as Lisa said, she doesn't believe there would be back-to-back black presidents for one, but also Ben Carson versus somebody who is more political savvy. As much as we're saying on this show, and so many people are calling this show and emailing us to talk about the fact that they want something different, they want a breath of fresh air, they don't want the same old rhetoric, the same old nonsense, all of that. When it comes down to it, and I say this all the time, what does the party want? It's, you believe it or not, it's not so much about you, the people, it's about the party. As much as there is a push and it is fractionalized and all of that, it does come down to what does the machine want to pump out. Remember Mitt Romney, I always thought all along right from the beginning, Mitt Romney, Mitt Romney, Mitt Romney. Your point of view, 855-266-5283, 855-266-KATE, or you can flip me an email at americatonight.net, americatonight.net. The Zogby poll, because they did a poll right away, said that Rubio was the big winner in Tuesday's debate, and that Jeb Bush was actually the big loser. Stick with us. We'll be back in a few.
I'm Rick Ossick with Famous Footwear. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies? That's why we support the March of Dimes in the fight against premature birth. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment programs, and outreach to help moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Learn how you can help save babies' lives at marchofdimes.org.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Share a story with you that relates to your question. I was in New Hampshire last week, and a woman approached me after the town hall meeting, and she said to me, Governor, I'm really concerned. I said, what are your concerns? And she said, I don't quite know how to describe it. She said, but every month when my bills come in, I feel this awful anxiety in the pit of my stomach that I'm not going to have enough money to pay them that month. There are tens of millions of Americans living that way after the worst recovery from an economic recession since World War II. And let's be clear, if we do not change course, if we follow the president's lead, and that's exactly what Secretary Clinton will do, we're going to be in the same circumstance with government picking the winners and losers. So let me be clear about what we'll do. First, make the tax code fair, flatter, and simpler. Get rid of all the special interest deductions. You know, the American people feel like the tax code is rigged for the rich, and you know why they feel that way? Because it is. We'll get rid of all those special interest deductions except for the home mortgage interest deduction and the charitable contribution deduction. Everyone will get lower rates, keep more of their own money, be able to file their tax returns in 15 minutes. And by the way, the good thing, I'll be able to fire a whole bunch of IRS agents once we do that.
You gotta love Chris Christie. He brings the humor every single time. He was at the kids' table, though. He wasn't in the big boy and big girl debate, primetime Fox Business News. And Christie didn't take the bait from Bobby Jindal, the governor of Louisiana, who kind of went after him a couple of times in that previous debate, so the first one that those two were heavily featured in. But in the fourth debate, you saw certainly there were clear differences over immigration and military spending. There was kind of a little bit of a divide between mainstream Republicanism or conservatism is the best way to put that versus rigid. There were some of the observations I would have made from, and I watched the whole thing from end to end and took notes, and that I just kind of watched it and let it organically unfold in a way for me to be able to say what my feelings were as far as what I was seeing as it was unfolding. And truly, Marco Rubio came up, I think, very strong. Ben Carson didn't hurt himself at all in this debate. You know, people keep talking about him mumbling. He wasn't really mumbling. He was a lot stronger from that point of view verbally. He made some funny remarks in some of the things that he said, and, you know, wanted to be able to clarify the fact that he felt like he was unfairly gone after in the West Point comments, and that it was posed to him that it was a scholarship because so much was made about that, not to tread over old territory. So eight Republicans faced off Tuesday night in Milwaukee. Four, I think, perhaps took maybe a back seat. If I'm handicapping this, I think Rand Paul actually came out a little bit better this time around. Donald Trump didn't do much. There wasn't much going on with Donald Trump this time around, I think. The biggest issues discussed, and bravo to the moderators, I thought they did a great job. I thought Maria Bartiromo was fantastic, and I knew she would be. Neil Cavuto, of course, he was fantastic. He has a handle on the economic questions he was asking, but if you watch the show at all, you would see that. And I also thought Gerard, who I didn't know much about, Wall Street Journal, also did a good job in what he asked. They didn't focus on themselves or trying to push themselves out there. You could clearly see that. So minimum wage, that came up. Jobs, health care, immigration, taxes. This was probably the most discussed. And following this on social media, Donald Trump is always going to be there. So a lot of people were talking about Donald Trump. Rand Paul, though, getting more attention. Ted Cruz getting more attention. Carly Fiorina. Ben Carson, naturally, going into this, you would think that he would have been discussed, and he absolutely was. So one of the most controversial statements, I guess, would be probably this from Trump. And there was a couple of times where the audience really reacted. I mean, it was an audience that responded to really to what was being said. And one of the things Trump talked about, as he has in the past, he said, why are we always doing the work? He's talking about the conflict in the Ukraine, what's going on, you know, Russia, etc. He said, why are we always doing the work when nations like Germany, etc., why aren't they doing it? They keep saying, keep going, you dummies. We have to get smart. We can't continue to be the policemen of the world. So for some, you know, this is about the whole military thing. And he was leaning toward not having a strong, not putting as much money into the military. He didn't say he'd pull out completely on military aid, by the way, in the conflicts that are out there. But he said he's not interested in keeping the money flowing either. And, you know, he went kind of in that direction. He didn't, you know, he didn't seem to get much from the audience. He didn't seem to get much from the people standing on the stage with him. But that's kind of a normal kind of thing for him. And Trump said if we'd only kept control of, you know, the Middle East, we should have kept the oil, basically. Believe me, this is one of his comments. We should have given the oil, given big chunks to the people who lost their arms and legs in the Middle East wars. But he didn't get much reaction from the audience on that. So then it becomes who performed the best in the debate. Was it Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush, Ben Carson, Ted Cruz, Carly Fiorina, Rand Paul, John Kasich? And one of the things you always hear, they do the closing statements. And one of the things that Trump says every single time, I don't have to give you a website, because everybody was plugging a website, because I'm self-funding my campaign. I'm putting up my own money. I want to do something really special. He says that line a lot. I want to do something really special. We're going to do something really special. So he did start out spending his own money, but supporters sent him about $4 million. They were unsolicited, but he got that money in July and through September, when he released his financials. So there are supporters out there, and they are trying to foot the bill for Trump, even if he doesn't want to take it. You know, the tax information I thought was really interesting in talking about taxes and what would your plan be. And there was flat tax conversation, 10% across the board. And Ted Cruz kind of introduced his tax plan by referring to the Bible. He said there are more words in the IRS code than there are in the Bible, and not a one of them is good. And then he talked about the flat tax idea and the fact that it would abolish the IRS and four other agencies. And, you know, he deflected anything about math because he was asked about, does the math work? And he said, we have the numbers on the website. And so you also got that from Rubio, has really been hit hard when he is debating and is asked about taxes, and he's been criticized a lot for a tax proposal that would cost trillions. One of the biggest parts of it is an expansion of the child credit, but what Rubio argues back when he's asked that, he says, if you invest that money, you invest in your children, we're not going to recognize that in your tax code. So, you know, he gets hit hard for that. And I liked the fact that in the debate, it really was about the economics of everything, what I mentioned, whether it was minimum wage, which that wasn't popular, of course, or whether it was taxes, or whether we were talking about health care or immigration or, you know, whatever. But and that was about fact-checking and looking back at some of the statistics that were thrown out. But overall, this debate was completely, the feel of it, the conversations, et cetera, completely different than CNBC. And for everybody out there who wanted to know a little, have a little more meat on the bone, to get a little more depth out of the candidates, that I think you feel that way. I think you got that from at least some of them anyway. And Jeb Bush, the biggest noticeable thing about Jeb Bush is he's definitely been working with somebody. He was way, way, way more energetic than we've seen Jeb Bush, what he constantly is criticized for and what Donald Trump was attacking him for, that whole low energy thing. He was not low energy in the debate. He clearly was prepared to really leave it out there and not, and talk about how, what he felt about his tax plan and taxes and, you know, the rest. Because you knew that there would be some scrutiny for him. And I said this, how does Jeb Bush perform? Because to me, if you're Jeb Bush, are you tired of getting slammed by Donald Trump and not winning in the polls? Or are you that candidate that Lisa Durden and I said a year and a half ago, I talked about this, that he is the one that is being held up as the guy. There's no question about that. Whether everybody listening to me says, oh, Jeb Bush, no offense, nice guy, can't be the dude, can't be the one, don't want it to be really Jeb Bush. But there are other people behind the scenes that have always wanted it to be, this time around, Jeb Bush. Is there enough there to push him to the top? Can Donald Trump or Ben Carson or Marco Rubio move up enough that they still continue to leapfrog Jeb Bush when it comes to the primaries? Because that's where it matters. You know, I could kick your butt in the polls, but if I'm not winning the primaries, I'm not going to win that nomination. Fruits and nuts, shred it, and bingo. No, it's the segment we do. It's not about the debate. That's next.
Hard disease kills over 600,000 Americans every year. For heart health, Ben Fuchs recommends CardioFX.
CardioFX is a source of the B-complex vitamins. There's 120 milligrams of vitamin C per dose. So you're going to get your vitamin C, you're going to get your B-complex and the CardioFX. The CardioFX is also a source of sulfur in the form of N-acetylcysteine. Sulfur deficiency can lead to elevated homocysteine, and it is thought to be one of the major reasons why vegetarians are at higher risk in some countries, and based on some studies, for heart disease than folks who eat animal protein. It has something to do with the lower sulfur content of vegetarian diets, and you will get sulfur in the form of N-acetylcysteine in the CardioFX product. N-acetylcysteine can be converted into taurine. So all in all, it's a pretty well-rounded cardiovascular nutritional supplement.
Concerned about heart health? Order CardioFX by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsidebend.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Couple of turns for this hour of America tonight with me, Kate Delaney, and the rest of the crew, by the way, at the mothership in Minneapolis, set to get cold there. You know, when you live in the Midwest, you know, boom, this is the time of the year the flowers start to fade, and we start to get that brisk air. So coming in, he probably was faced with a lot of brisk air, but Nathan Reeder joins us for our next segment. It is one of my favorites. And, of course, it's called Fruits and Nuts, Shredded or Bingo.
Bingo!
Bingo! Nathan, how you be?
I'm good. How
good.
You be, Kate?
I be good as well. You know, I personally like the brisk air. I grew up with all four seasons, and to me, my favorite season was fall, then it eclipses into winter. But, of course, I never had, like, a day where we had 24 inches of snow or whatever crazy amount of snow you get.
Oh, I don't even know. We've had such weird winters over the past 6 or 7 years, you know, not that, like, I guess it was back in 11 we got kind of pounded, but that was concentrated, and I don't know. I felt like I got more snow when I was living in Iowa, really. But
Really? Than in Minneapolis? in Minnesota.
Yeah, but that was, you know, that was the 90s.
You know, it was the 90s then. There was more snow around.
Right.
That's right. More than now. That's funny. All right. So our first one is this. In Seattle, it's funny. I just had a friend send me a picture of this. So it must have been before they did this. But they've got these walls, and it's a famous Seattle wall that where people just stuck their bubble gum on the wall. It's famous. People take pictures by it. It's just one of those weird little things in the city. And there were crews that were sent out to unstick the old gum from this famous Seattle wall. They believe that the amount of gum there, about 1 million little pieces, but crews are cleaning up this famous gum wall near Pike Place Market, where tourists and locals have been sticking their used gum for the past 20 years.
Nice.
I think that, though, is not bingo, because it's a little iconic thing. Just leave it.
I utterly agree. Things can... I mean, is it a health hazard? Are people going
no.
up to it and putting their mouths
no.
on it?
No, they're going and taking pictures. It's really super cool.
Where did the orders come from?
Well, it's interesting you say that because, you know, this is, again, Pike Market, which is a famous tourist area. So what happened was Emily Crawford is the woman's name. She said that following the summer season, the market leaders, so the group downtown, decided it was a good time to wipe the wall clean. But here's the weird thing. It, you know, it's iconic. It's history. So they're doing this and they're saying, but we realize more people will start to stick their gum up there again. What? Then why do it?
Yeah.
I don't. That doesn't make any sense to me. They say they're not going to remove it now if people start doing that again. And they said there's about, you know, probably 2,200 pounds of gum on the wall.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say fruits and nuts or fruity gum and nutty candies, but it's not quite shredded because, come on, it was... I mean, it could have been shredded as in you could have left it there from the start. It just
That's
sounds,
what I think.
Sounds like there
Wait.
Was a new person in
yep.
the milieu trying
yep.
to stir things up
That's
so
what I
they
think.
Were noticed. And
yep.
then they realized, well, that
Whoops.
Was kind of, I guess we paid someone for that.
Yeah, why did we power wash the walls and unstick the gum? It doesn't make any sense
yep.
to me. I used to live in a cool place called San Luis Obispo when I got out of school. California, if anyone listening knows San Luis Obispo, it's gorgeous. It's the central coast of California, small town, and they have a bubblegum alley. That's what they call it. And I can remember taking pictures at bubblegum alley, and when people came to see me, because nobody I knew lived in California, they came from the Midwest or the East, I would always take them to bubblegum alley, and they thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of a similar thing. Right, how about this? I don't know how you are about the whole soda thing, but now they have some... data on this. They're saying that sugary or artificial sweetened sodas could contribute to heart failure. Researchers basically followed the food habits of 42,000 Swedish men for 12 whole years. They found that the men who drank, Nathan, at least two sweetened drinks a day had a 23% higher risk of going into heart failure. They just published all these results in the British Medical Journal. I would say, man, if you consume a lot of sweet beverages, you should consider perhaps maybe consuming a little less. What do you think?
Yeah, perchance. Perchance to unsoda yourself.
Yeah, water.
You need so much flavoring in water nowadays, Kate.
I know. How much do you drink soda? Are you a big soda drinker?
I find myself drinking soda about once or twice every day and a half or so.
Oh, that's not that much.
Yeah,
so
but
that's...
still, it's once a day, and that's not... That's the lower class of that study, too, that it's possibly also not good for you, right?
Yeah, it's not good for you, but I think if the less you have of it, though, the better. If you know, I know people... Seriously, I know guys that drink a six-pack of soda a day, probably. That's way too much. Think of the sugary substances you're inhaling, you know, with drinking a six-pack. I wouldn't, far be it for me to tell anyone what to do, but if you keep reading more and more of these studies and you don't really want to take that chance of, ooh, could I be that one person that gets that heart attack and I don't know. If there's a way to cut down, might be good. Snoop Dogg, you like this, launches a line of cannabis products. Holy smokes, I saw the headline. Holy smokes.
Ah.
I mean, here's the deal. He doesn't care. I mean, as he smokes pot, he talks about it. It's like kind of his thing. And now we know that it is legal in so many places. Of course, recreational dispensaries in Colorado, they legalized pot back in 2013, and you're going to be able to get it there. It's called Leafs is the name of his brand, and it has edibles, food with the cannabis extract, hand-weighed marijuana flowers, and several other things under his name, under his brand. He loves the White House. I mean, he says he even smoked pot in the White House, but that's probably not a good thing to say, but he did say it. And he's got gumdrops and fruit chews and peanut butter things and chocolate bar. I mean, he's got it all, you know?
Oh, I mean, he's had it for a while, you know?
Yeah.
This is, I'm going to say, shred it and put it in your pipe and smoke it.
Put it in your pipe and smoke it. All right, Snoop Dogg. We're going to have him on the show. And see what okay. That's like. I'm serious. I'm going to get him on the show and we can talk about his cannabis product. Someone's already offered. We'll see if they can nail him down because he's kind of all over the map, so it's pretty hard. Did you ever watch Twin Peaks?
Oh, yeah. Did you ever watch Twin Peaks Fire Come Walk With Me?
No.
Movie that it was based on, Where Laura Came From.
You're kidding. Oh, I got to see that now.
Oh, my gosh. Do some research. David Lynch. Come on.
I just wrote that down. I love David Lynch. I don't know why I didn't know that.
Come on.
I'll watch the movie. So for everyone listening,
it's much scarier.
Oh, I want to watch it.
You know, all of those, like Blue Velvet. Oh, my goodness.
Blue Velvet. Oh, a scene in there I can't even talk about. It makes me weak when I think of it.
Yep.
Twin Peaks fans have been waiting for 25 years. So check this out. CBS CEO Les Moonves confirmed that the revived Twin Peaks, it was supposed to premiere on Showtime, but it's not going to premiere until 2017. But it is going to there is going to be a new Twin Peaks. They're doing a whole new thing on Twin Peaks.
Yep.
It would be like the third season, basically, of the David Lynch deal.
Yep.
They've been filming in Seattle, so they're already filming it.
Oh yeah. They've been talking about it for a while.
I like it. I can't wait to see what they do with it.
Yep. I'll wait. I'm sure I will not see it like right away. I'll take forever as I usually do.
I'm going to go look up that movie now. Nathan has me curious. Rock on. Good job, Nathan, and thank you for listening to America Tonight.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Zdanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.